We just heard about how pipeline construction could impact aquatic species. Pipelines are also affecting wildlife in forests.
It's kind of like the hidden part of gas development. It's the largest part, but very understudied.
That's Lily Langlois, a researcher at Penn State University. While Langlois was working on her PhD there, she studied aerial images to map natural gas development in Lycoming County in north central Pennsylvania. Langlois and her colleagues found that linear infrastructure, like pipelines and roads, had a bigger impact on carving up forests and affecting the wildlife habitat within them than the drilling well pads themselves. Recently, I had a chance to talk with her about the study. Can you describe the area in Lycoming County that you looked at for this study? Like, what's the forest like there? You describe it as core forest. And what's the Marcellus shale industry like there?
It's the Allegheny Plateau region, so a lot of deep valleys, a lot of steep mountains, and the forests are pretty much contiguous because there's very few people living there. There's a relatively limited road network. So in terms of wildlife, you have these hotspots of wildlife that you don't find in other parts of Pennsylvania. Something like timber rattlesnakes are locally quite abundant, but rare in the rest of the state. And prior to shale gas development, there were some activities in terms of logging, in terms of recreational activities. It's beautiful. People love to go there for canoeing, hiking, snowmobiling, you name it. But over the last 8 to 10 years, they expanded a lot of the roads that used to be there that were basically hidden and impassable by most people. And now there are two-lane highways that two semis can pass each other because that's what the shale gas industry required to build their infrastructure up there. When I first started, it was right during the boom in 2011 and 12. And that's when just your normal everyday country road up there was nonstop traffic 24 hours a day. And then things have slowly tapered off. And for the last, since 2015, I would say, very little activity has occurred. And only recently, in this last 6 months, I would say, do we see drilling activities resuming again.
And you found that forest fragmentation from these roads and also pipelines is the major threat from the Marcellus shale industry to this forested area. What do you mean by fragmentation?
Basically chopping up a large block of forest into smaller and smaller pieces. And it might not look fragmented from a human perspective because we can cross that road and go from one patch of forest to the next, but other species wouldn't necessarily be brave enough or wouldn't have the mobility to do that. So if you have a flying squirrel, this arboreal nocturnal creature, they stay within the trees and they're not going to physically be able to cross that gap of a large widened corridor. And these roads were expanded to 20, 30 meters wide, off the top of my head, 40, 50, 60 feet, depending on the type of pipeline and whether there's a road and a pipeline together. So it's a breaking up of one large contiguous block into smaller pieces. And when you do that, you change the dynamics of the forest. And by that, I mean, on that forested edge where you have that road, you now have increased solar radiation to the edge. And that changes the microclimate. So now you have drying out of the soil. Usually we consider up to 300 feet of a forested edge that has been affected, and we call that the edge effect of forest. It's no longer what used to be contiguous forest where that sun didn't hit the forest floor and it didn't have the wind blowing in, desiccating the soil, which changes your invertebrates. And there's a whole chain effect in terms of, I specifically focus on birds, and if their invertebrates are lower in density near the forest edge, then they won't go to those areas to feed. They will avoid the forest edge. But all animals treat edges differently.
I was reading in your study that there could be higher rates of predation along these forest edges.
That's right. If you're out there in the middle of the forest bushwhacking through lots of thick mountain laurel, you will appreciate these roads and you will use them to travel because it's so much easier. And a lot of predators use that for that same reason. You've got gray foxes, raccoons, and along the edges is where they can penetrate the forest and find whether it's a nest, eggs, young, etc. We focus on the neotropical migrants. They're migrating here from Central and South America, thousands and thousands of miles. They take months to make this journey, and they come to Pennsylvania specifically and further north as well, and the forests. And they rely on these large blocks of forest away from people, away from predators, and they breed there, their success can be impacted by fragmentation and other human disturbance.
One of the interesting things about your study is that you found there was a difference between gas development on private and public land. What is the difference, and what is the impact on forests?
So in this area, within our case study of Lycoming County, about one-third of it is public land. But there was a similar amount of development on both. So we were able to make this comparative study between the two and look at the systematic approach for how they built and created their infrastructure between the two landowners. And we found that public land, they hold the gas operators to a much higher and stricter level. They are a huge landowner, so they have a lot of leverage. It's not just a small private landowner that will say, okay, sure, you can put the pad on my property or not. These would say, you can put it in this region, but you cannot put it in this area because it's too close to this wetland. You know, we want to keep tourism high in this area. We don't want people to see it from Pine Creek Valley when they're down there fishing. And they also had more consolidation of infrastructure. So they had more wells per pad than what you typically find on private landowners. DCNR specifically is who we worked with the closest. And they have a whole team of geologists, foresters, lawyers, you name it, working on behalf of coordinating gas development on public land. And they were able to negotiate a higher number of wells drilled per pad, because you can have up to 15, 20 wells per pad.
If you had more pads, then you would need fewer roads and fewer pipelines because they would all be in one place and you wouldn't need to spread them out.
That's right. That's right. You're able to limit the surface disturbance but still have long lateral lines going in strategically in different directions underneath the soil. And the other thing they did is they required, whenever possible, to consolidate roads with pipelines. And because pipelines themselves are the largest portion of the industry's footprint, about 50% of the footprint is from the pipeline itself. And then once you add the roads, and now you're up to 70%. If you combine those, if you place a pipeline next to a pre-existing road, instead of creating two separate corridors that are essentially parallel to each other, you put them next to each other and you create one larger corridor, but the trade-off is less surface disturbance. And we see that occurred almost across the board. 70-80% of pipelines on public land were co-located with some sort of existing feature. Whatever they could do, they consolidated them.
Lily Langwa says the first step in changing the footprint of pipelines and forests is educating private landowners about siting them, placing them along roads, and even through fields that can be replanted with crops or shrubs that would be beneficial for wildlife. Langwa is a researcher and instructor at Penn State University, and there's more about her work at AlleghenyFront.org. You'll also find more of the stories in our Follow the Pipeline series there. That's AlleghenyFront.org. This is the Allegheny Front. I'm Carol Holsapple.